Let's all go to the lobby. 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 Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinema Shakedown, the weekly podcast that functions as a grab bag for all things film. I'm your host, Kyle Craigbaum.
And I'm your other host, Jordan Dennis.
This week, we will be talking about the new Olivia Wilde mystery thriller, Don't Worry Darling, which has been flooded by a lot of behind-the-scenes drama. We'll unpack some of that today.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into that, how are you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. We're fresh off a big meal at Chili's.
Oh, yeah. Feeling belly's full, cock swole, ready to roll.
There you go. There you go. Bars right there.
I'm something of a lyricist myself.
Absolutely. You watch anything?
I started Andor. It's really good so far.
Very good.
It's about
very
as good, good as people say.
Yeah, yeah. It rips. The first two episodes were fantastic. Or the first three episodes were fantastic.
Did I watch any other movies? Not really? I think I rewatched This Is the End.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
At some point, it's a funny movie.
It's a great movie. You said it's one of your go-to quarantine movies.
Mm-hmm. It's a comfort movie for sure.
Just a couple of guys being dudes trapped in a fucking house.
Oh yeah. It's vibes. It's built entirely off of the chemistry of just a bunch of friends. It succeeds where every single one of Adam Sandler's films fail.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Where it just feels like a bunch of dudes got together and made a movie together.
Yeah. You know what? That's a fair comparison to, is like an Adam Sandler movie, but like this is like the good version of like one of like the grown-ups or like, you know.
Yeah.
Him getting his pack together.
It's grown-ups, but with the biblical apocalypse.
It's grown-ups, but if fucking Seth Rogen made it. Yep. I rewatched a couple movies.
Okay.
I rewatched The Prince of Egypt.
Again? I feel like have you watched that?
I watched it in December.
Oh, word.
And I watched it, yeah.
I feel like you just watched that. Maybe not. Shit.
Goes hard. Yeah. I love that movie. Perks of Being a Wallflower, my favorite coming-of-age film.
Yeah, that adds up.
Goes hard. What does that mean? What's that supposed to
just
mean?
Just sit with that.
What's that supposed to mean? You haven't even seen, have you seen it?
No, I don't care.
Okay. I also watched Eighth Grade, which is my second favorite coming-of-age movie.
God, are you okay?
Yeah. I think so.
Did you have a good childhood?
Nah, I think so.
Okay, all right.
And then Fight Club, which I love. It's a great comedy. That being said, that's all I watched. Some TV shows, you know, we're keeping up on House of the Dragon.
Yep.
Go crazy. Go stupid.
I'm an episode behind on
Lord of the Rings.
Rings of Power. I gotta get caught up.
And yeah, Andor's a new weekly.
Mm-hmm.
She-Hulk is She-Hulk. I'm not gonna talk about it anymore.
She-It-Hulk.
The only time I'll mention is when Daredevil shows up, which is hopefully soon. And BoJack Horseman continues to be awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty much my recap. You want to get into this?
Yeah, I guess.
You want to get into this?
Not.
Come on! You want to get into this?
Not particularly.
Okay, fine. Then I will get us started.
All right. Put me under. Put me. Put the little machines on me.
Okay.
Let's get going.
So Don't Worry, Darling revolves around a 1950s housewife played by Florence Pugh. It's this very idyllic, too good to be true neighborhood where she lives with her handsome husband, played by Harry Styles, who goes off to work at a mysterious location. She's not really sure what her husband does. She's not allowed to ask questions, but all the other housewives and her seem happy until they see one of the other housewives acting strange, acting weird, and it kind of tumbles Florence Pugh down a hole where she figures out the neighborhood is not as what it seems.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mystery afoot.
It's a very Twilight Zone-y concept.
It's like Jordan Peele for white women.
Mm-hmm. It's very Black Mirror-esque at times.
Uh-huh.
Specifically with near the end, something they do.
Now, imagine Black Mirror and Jordan Peele in the Twilight Zone, but if it was shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's this.
Don't Worry, Darling
is shit. I might lower my rating.
Mm-hmm.
The more I think about it, the more I just... What is there worthwhile in this movie at all, besides the score? So, we'll get that out of the way. We'll shout out John Powell real quick, the MVP. The score is pretty good.
Very creepy. Movie. Very unsettling. He uses a lot of, like...
I think it would be more memorable in a better movie, but, it's he's certainly trying his best.
Yeah, he's trying his best to create a mood that is lacking with the rest.
Elsewhere. Like, I gotta pick up the tension here.
What I will say about this movie is I think it's a handsomely shot movie.
Sure. I think competently.
It's handsomely competently shot movie. I think, there's some neat editing at points. There's some neat sound design. Sure. And I like the score. But it's... And then some of the performances, so we're going to dive more into the performances. I like some of the performances, but it's in service of a script that is at once rushed, but also drags. The pacing in this movie is so bizarre.
Yeah,
I don't know how to describe it. Like, it feels like the weird stuff ramps up too quickly.
It comes too late.
Both.
Yeah.
Like... First of all, it tries to create, like, this horror mood on scenes that aren't creepy.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of an early scene of her crushing eggs that they try to make the creepiest thing in the world.
Like, wow, isn't this so unsettling and creepy? Like...
But it's just, it's confused. This movie's confused. It has so many ideas, but it doesn't know what to do with any of them.
Yeah.
They all are just kind of left stranded.
Half-baked,
And I can't blame Olivia Wilde for that necessarily, because, I mean, I can blame her for some of the pacing issues, but she didn't write the script. I think it's a competently directed movie. Again, I like her first movie. I like Booksmart.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she exceeds her grasp here.
Yeah. Overextends herself a bit.
Let's dive into the cast a little bit. Yeah. So we got Florence Pugh.
Mixed bag.
We got Florence Pugh. I think I enjoyed Florence Pugh more than you did.
She gets worse as the... Well, the problem is none of the characters are good. So the performances can only be so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only watch Florence Pugh go... like so many times before I'm like, oh, you're just doing... Like she clearly seems... You know what's funny about it? Is like... It's like... I can tell, or at least I get the vibe from her, that she has no idea what the hell to do in this movie. But Harry Styles is so, like, confident and happy to be there, but he also sucks. You know what I mean?
There is a clashing. They don't have enough chemistry for what this movie is.
Their relationship is, like, the centerpiece of the whole film, and it's bland, it's boring. They just make out a bunch. Like, you're never given, like... any reason to actually believe that these two people are in love.
Yeah. Like, for the first few scenes, I was sitting there like, oh, Harry Styles isn't that bad. And then he has to emote later on. Okay. And you're like, oh, okay.
There's where all the press was talking about. Yeah.
It's just like, it's not the worst.
It's not like Tommy Wiseau or anything, but I mean, like...
He's just out of his depth.
He's just bland.
Especially when he's sharing a screen
Maybe every singer shouldn't be co-opted into a medium that they weren't trained to perform in. I don't know, fucking... Yeah.
Especially when he's sharing the screen with Florence Pugh and Chris Pine,
two decorated
actors. Especially Chris Pine, who is the best part of the movie.
For the 5 minutes that he's...
But he has barely
any screen time.
But a creepy presence. He's a great actor. Yeah. I like Olivia Wilde in it, too. I think
that character just doesn't do anything.
That, you could say that about, yeah.
Yeah.
So the script is a lot of buildup, and you're wondering where this is going. We're building so much. And then when we get there...
That's a wet fart.
It's a hot air balloon.
I wasn't even that interested, like, to begin with. Like,
I wasn't interested, but I was curious.
The setup is so, like, benign.
Yeah,
because it's all just like dinner parties and galas with vaguely eerie occurrences.
It was engaging enough for me to wonder where it's going. But then when we get there, it's
Nick Kroll's there.
He's there. He's certainly there.
He's present.
I
also think his character's inclusion is a really mean-spirited jab at Jason Sudeikis.
You think
that's the vibe I get, because he plays Olivia Wilde's character's husband, and he's just kind of like like this goofball asshole. Like, I could totally buy that that's how she sees him. And I don't know, like, that's the vibe I get. Like he's, like, her self-insert version of Sudeikis.
How I would describe this is just, like...
Which is gross.
That is gross. How I would describe this is just, it's unfulfilling.
Yeah.
I'm just, left unsatisfied.
Just completely, it's fluff.
It's not like a movie where I hated myself. It's not like The Woman King where I wanted to be teleported out of the theater because I was so bored. Yeah. It's not like that kind of experience. It's just mid.
It's like a marshmallow movie. Like, you just eat it and it's just gone. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Again, fluff. It's
fluff.
And it thinks it's a lot cleverer than it actually is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's,
yeah,
like... this movie is very pretentious, like unironically, like it in terms of, like,
it thinks it has something grand to say
with heavy themes that have never been addressed before. It's like the movie thinks it's like going to be a groundbreaking classic, and it's a floundering mess.
And I've heard a lot of people online compare it to specifically Alex Garland's Men, because it's like the Men bad, you know. Movie.
I mean, yeah,
and they do have a point. Honestly, this is probably an unpopular opinion. I prefer Men to this.
Yeah.
I think Men's better than this. I think it's more creative than this. This is just, it's like, it's there. It's the kind of movie you'll watch, if you didn't know what it was, you'll watch it on Netflix and be like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, throw it on in the background while...
Yeah, it's like your mom will hit you up, like, have you seen Don't Worry, Darling?
I don't know if I would throw this on in the background. I'd just get pissed off.
It's just untapped potential.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it strands Florence Pugh, who I love, in something that it just doesn't know what it wants to be. And then, that's not to mention the stuff that we're going to talk about in spoilers.
Oh yeah, baby.
Because there is a certain narrative direction
that
this
goes. There's a big twist.
And I find it completely ridiculous and dumb.
It takes the movie from, like, just kind of generic bad to, like, a special kind of bad. I think this twist is gonna be remembered like the movie Serenity. Like, you'd be like,
it's not quite that bad of a twist. It's bad.
It's
that
close.
Serenity twist is.
It's in the ballpark.
That's
it. Also comes completely out of nowhere. It's not even like.
And what's funny is this specific twist. You called before it as a joke. You were like, "Yo, what if this happened?" And that's what fucking happened.
I don't know. I knew it was going to be. We'll talk about it.
We got to find a time to talk about Serenity sometime. It is so funny.
Yeah.
It is so funny.
Wild movie.
But yeah, we should get into spoilers because this is really what just tanks this movie is the screenplay and then this twist.
As of right now, I'm going to give it a generous 2.5 out of 5. Could get lower the more I think about it.
This is a light 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
This is a light 2.5. I'm right there with you, but it's like teetering on
like
a 2.
If I ever happen to watch this again for whatever reason, there's no way it gets higher. It only gets lower.
Yeah, no. This isn't a grower. I already know that. This
grower, not a shower?
No, it's neither.
No, it's a fucking flaccid penis of a movie.
It's a chode. So let's get into spoilers. So do you want to kind of break down the narrative and where it goes?
I guess. Okay, so...
He's sleepy.
Oh, shit. Sorry, just talking about Don't Worry, Darling is putting me under. Okay, so it turns out... So Chris Pine is kind of the leader of this, like, 50s suburbia that they live in. He's kind of got, like, a culty leader vibe, and all the men... go to work during the day, and you don't really know what they do. They're not allowed to talk about it. They right. got to keep it hush-hush. And all the women just stay home and, like, tend to the house, feed the men and everything, and they're kept there by the promise that they're, like, aiding in some sort of, like, great, like, march forward. Like, the men are doing something really important, and they're, you know, by supporting the men, they're, you know, keeping things afloat. And so, as Florence Pugh's kooky occurrences mount up, what she eventually discovers, I forget, she goes out to the headquarters at one point and, like...
Yeah, this is, like, the end of first act.
And, like, pierces the veil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, like, her psychosis kind of snaps. And then by the end, she discovers that the community they're in is a simulation built by Chris Pine and his doctor friend to... It's like The Sims, like... Essentially, like men and women would sign themselves up and their significant others, and like, so like Harry Styles in the real world
kidnapped Florence Pugh.
Florence Pugh. They were dating, but like he listens to Chris Pine's podcast in the real world, and that's where he hears about the project, and so they put these little machines on your eyes that make you think you're living in this like fantasy, and the men going to work every day is them having to like log out into the real world for like an allotted amount of time.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And so it's like anti-feminist Sims.
I'm confused by the logistics of this twist. Like, if Florence is kidnapped and in this simulation all the time, when is she eating?
I guess if Harry Styles is feeding her, maybe he's got like a tube hooked up to her or something.
Guess so.
Yeah, this movie isn't... the problem with this movie is not concerned with answering questions like that.
Also...
Because the twist happens and then it basically ends, like...
Also, if you die in the simulation, you die for real.
That is true. She beats Harry Styles to death with a fucking mug in the simulation and he fucking dies. And also Gemma Chan, who is Chris Pine's girlfriend, kills him in the simulation. And then it's like, my turn. Like, she's the new villain.
Strange moment.
Even though that doesn't pan out, it felt like sequel bait. It felt like a fucking MCU after credit scene.
The ending is what really felt pretentious to me, the way they fucking did her, like, character waking up over the credits.
Oh, yeah, she goes back to, like, the headquarters where she initially had, like,
big
the vision.
Big chase scene, crazy
action. And it cuts to black. And then, like, you hear her, like wake up, but you don't see it. You only hear it, like, her, like, gasping for air, and then the title comes in, and everyone clap! It's art! It's high art!
You know, this simulation twist, it feels like something that would be in Black Mirror.
Yeah.
But the entire conceit of Black Mirror is technology.
Yeah.
So the twist wouldn't be out of place. But this movie has nothing to do with technology.
No,
or like...
it's not making any kind of commentary, like, towards that. Like, the fact that this level of technology exists in the real world comes completely out of nowhere and is never elaborated upon.
And like one of the like one of the nightmarish visions that her character kept having was like a projector above them on the ceiling.
Yeah, it's like footage they play to like help them go under or whatever. I don't know.
It's just the twist comes out of nowhere. And there's no setup for it.
See,
and that's the worst kind of plot twist.
I know they usually say show, don't tell. But I think this is a case of maybe you could have told us a little bit more.
A little more. At least a little
like,
more.
Like, explain yourself. Fucking.
Because it just feels so unnatural.
Yeah.
And it just the vibes are off in this movie.
It feels like a fucking SNL skit. I'm not gonna lie. Like, by the time the twist comes in, it almost teeters into, like, parody for me.
I can see that.
Like, that's such a ridiculous twist.
It was just another thing on the pile for me of this just meh. Meh.
Mid
movie.
As fuck.
Mid as fuck.
You got anything else to say about Don't Worry, Darling?
I don't know, man. Probably not.
Yeah. Do we want to... Do you actually think any of the on-set drama leading up to this... How much of that do you think actually happened?
I think... first of all, I definitely think that Florence refused to be in it with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, obviously.
All of that. And I definitely believe that created some tension with Olivia Wilde and her.
Uh-huh.
Especially her weird thing with Harry Styles on set when she's friends with Sudeikis.
Yeah.
I think all the stuff about Florence is... I believe she's
uncomfortable.
Like
the whole thing
the
about
set.
Like Harry Styles like spitting on Chris Pine, like
probably not
bullshit. Yeah,
I don't know if Chris Pine liked the experience. He definitely didn't like doing interviews.
Yeah, I mean he's barely in it. Like I wouldn't want to promote this film.
Like it just, and yeah, Harry Styles is just so out of his depth, both in that and the interviews and stuff. It just feels like I think
that's a good way to describe just this whole movie. It's out of its depth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the actors are out of their depth. The Olivia Wilde's out of her depth.
Yep.
The screenwriter's out of her depth.
Yeah.
Just everything. Like, they're trying to tackle a very weird concept and just do it in the most beige way possible.
It's beige.
Like, this movie is a pair of khakis and a white button-up. It is, yeah.
Honestly, this movie is like living in the suburbs.
Truly.
Yeah.
If it wanted to capture that feeling, then it succeeded in that.
I guess so. I guess it did. But beyond that, do I think it's worth seeing? No, I think there's 100 other of these like Twilight Zone-esque movies that work far better.
If you want to watch a piece of Twilight Zone-inspired media from this year, watch Nope. Go watch Get Out before you watch this. Oh my God.
Watch Black Mirror.
Yeah,
Like, to watch the new Twilight Zone. I haven't even heard that's that good.
But yeah, but it's probably better than this.
Probably.
Yeah. 2.5 out of 5. This was not great.
A low 2.5. If it's lucky, it'll stay there.
For its sake.
That's the episode?
That is the short episode.
Short one, but...
Short one for this, but we've got a pretty stacked lineup for next week, so...
We do. So, next week, we are going to be talking about the new, very controversial, kind of biopic, Blonde, by Andrew Dominik.
And then
the other two are escaping me right now.
Bros,
the romantic comedy, gay, very gay.
Yeah, the gayest movie we'll see all year.
Absolutely.
And friggin' Smile.
Smile, a movie that looked like absolute garbage from the trailer.
So we were going to skip it, but now it's got an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, so we're like, I guess we're going to go watch this
I
now.
I guess we're going
to
go see it. Hey, I'm always down to be pleasantly surprised.
No, fuck yeah, I mean, I'm into it. So,
it's
yeah.
probably going to be better than Don't Worry, Darling.
What a world. What a world we live in.
If you like the podcast, thank you for listening.
Thank you guys.
Can follow it on Twitter and Instagram at Cinema Shakedown. And you can follow me personally on Twitter and Letterboxd at Kyle Craigbaum. That's K-R-I-E-G-H-B-A-U-M.
And you can follow me on Twitter at J_Dennis99 or on Letterboxd at my name, Jordan Dennis. Thank you guys again so much for coming by and listening to us rant about this shit fucking movie that you should not see.
Bye.